Oh, welcome to the Coffee Table Program. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thanks especially to Finley Abbott, who brought the Christmas Box Christmas Oratorio around for us to borrow for the season. But in the studio right now, I realize there is an actual human being. Terry Roble is here, but I can't stop looking at the two heaping plates of delicious cookies. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning.
So good to have you. Definitely. So let me get a little closer to that mic. Let's see what's happening.
Hey, it's probably just me.
It is not
you. It's been a while, you know.
It has.
Yeah, we have to do this more often.
We have missed you. Thank you and welcome back.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. I was hoping you'd call.
It is the annual Christmas cooking show, holiday cooking show. So if you have questions, let's tell you right now, if you have questions about anything having to do with holiday food.
Anything.
Any old thing. And or a story or some traditional recipe that you would like to share that's in your family, then you can call us at 235-7721 or toll-free 1-800-979-5224. So, Terry.
Oh, it's so much about the food, the traditions, the history of our families. And I love every bit of it. And the older I get, the more I really cherish it. So
Let's jump right in. What are some of the traditions in your home?
You know, I tried to find out the other day why our family really enjoys making multiple kinds of cookies and candies. And what?
Because they're awesome?
Well, that too. But how did that start, you know? And why do these people do this? And I could find a lot of information on spices and the histories of certain cookies and the areas of the world they came from. But I hope somebody out there might know this. I really couldn't find out why, for instance, Mark's grandma made 16 different kinds of goodies during the holidays. Maybe it was just because it was such a special time of year, and that's when you pull out all the stops, and you know people expect it, and you make the time to do this, and it's just such a family traditional thing to do.
I think that's part of it. It is a part. You know? It's sort of built in to the season that you uphold family traditions.
Yep. And you know, it's really neat to see everybody's different family traditions. And my heritage is German, Austrian. I think there might be a little Scottish in the woodpile somewhere because I have red hair, but I don't know. Anyway, so we make, you know, when I was a young bride, I made like, oh my gosh, I loved cooking for Mark. I didn't have babies yet. You know, I wasn't working a whole lot at the beginning of our relationship and our marriage. And so I had time to do this and I just dove right in, man. And I betcha, you know, I had 14 different kinds of goodies on a plate. I'm not doing as well this year.
Well, let's talk about that. What are on those plates?
Okay, so, first of all, my sister and her husband have moved up to Alaska. We have not celebrated a Christmas together since I left home at 18, so that was 40 years ago. And so it's really fun to find out what her favorites are and try to make them for her because I know she loves them, and that's why I cook.
So what was on that list?
So on her list, she loves my little apricot strudel pinwheels.
I also love your little apricot strudel pinwheels.
I love them too because we both love apricots. Mm-hmm. And so the dough is a basic almond butter dough, and it's rolled out, and then you spread a thin layer of apricot jam and some toasted almonds, and then you make this lovely little apricot puree of apricots and lemon and little sugar, and you mince it finely, and you spread that on there, and you roll these little babies up, and then you bake them, and then you sprinkle them with a little powdered sugar when they come out, and they're just wonderful. And I think they're different because a lot of people don't expect fruit too much. They're thinking spices, chocolates, nuts, So those are one of Gail and my favorites. Another one that we like to make is the, well, everybody has different names for them. There's pecan fingers, Mexican wedding cookies, snowballs. I know there's more names I'm forgetting, but we have hickory nut fingers this year. And I'm from Wisconsin, as my whole world knows. And so when we go back in the fall, we get hickory nuts. And we go to this little old lady's house who lives on the corner of Knapp Street and 9th. And we buy them from her. She sells them by the quart for $10. And so they're an old childhood favorite. And they're sort of like a pecan. They're a little stronger. And they're very unique. And a lot of people, you know, don't even know what they are. But if you know what they are, you probably like them. So we have the, it's a butter, powdered sugar, nut, yummy cookie that just kind of melts in your mouth. And then we have a new kind, well, it's not new anymore to us, but it's a cream cheese cherry chocolate cookie. And these are kind of yummy. It's a cream cheese and butter base. And then the filling is a maraschino cherry, powdered sugar, a little vanilla. You make that, you puree it, and you put that on top of your little cookie. And then you drizzle a little chocolate on it. And then these little guys over here, for our, you guys out in Radio Land, they're little balls rolled in powdered sugar. And these are from my southern friend, Josie.
Are those pecan?
No, they are date balls.
Date balls.
Very, very yummy. Lots of butter, Rice Krispies, dates. I think there's nuts in them. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
It all starts to run together, doesn't
it? Yeah, it is. And then next to those little guys are some little crescent-type looking cookies that I've rolled in cinnamon sugar. And these were from my dad's mom, Grandma Han. And they're called cream cheese pillows. So they're like a little cream cheese dough. And then you put a little dollop of a thick jam in them. Mm-hmm. This year I picked out a boysenberry jam at the market that was just over the top. I mean, I kept... And I'm not a big sweets eater, believe it.
What?
I'm not. Nope.
Okay.
And I had
I'm
this
gonna take
jam.
Your word for it, lady with two heaping piles
oh
of cookies.
Oh, my gosh, right? Let me tell you about the making of these cookies in a minute.
Sure.
Anyway, so in the cookies is a little boysenberry jam. They're baked in. The little pillows are pinched together and baked. They're wonderful. Then there's everybody's favorite in my life, which is the peanut butter balls. Buckeyes, whatever you might call them. They are a peanut butter, graham cracker, powdered sugar, buttered middle, and then they're rolled in melted chocolate consisting of milk chocolate and semi-sweet, and they taste like a Reese's peanut butter cup, only better. Okay, so that's plate number one.
Plate number one.
All right.
Moving on to plate number two.
Plate number two, we have rum balls. And this was pretty funny. So this morning, I keep all our cookies out on a table in the garage because it's nice and cool out there. And so I opened this canister, and I went, oh, I didn't label it. I wonder which is in here. And the minute I opened the canister, this wave of rum hit me in the face. I went, oh, okay, I know what's in there. So those are my chocolate rum balls. They're made with pecans, cocoa, finely ground vanilla wafers, and Meyer's rum. Then we have your traditional sugar cutout cookies, which mm-hmm. we all love. This year, my sister and her husband helped me decorate them because hubby was at a meeting. He managed to get home for a couple, but they're just a basic sugar cookie dough. This recipe this year, though, is passed down from the grandmas. It has sour cream in it. And I roll up mine pretty thin. And then we have a frosting, and we do colors. And so this year we did...
It must be... You must roll them really thin, because that's not... That's an eighth of an inch baked.
You know, and you got to just roll them thin enough so you can still work with them mm-hmm. from the counter, the floured counter, to the cookie sheet. You know, and sometimes we have little issues. But so the green frosting is flavored with coconut. The chocolate frosting is flavored with... hazelnut. There's no yellow here. I believe that's lemon. And then we had a pink that we put almond and cherry in. So they had a little extra spice going on in Zing this year. Then there's my fruitcake, and it's a love-hate thing. Yes, I know. We used to make light fruitcake, and everybody loved that. Lemon, a light batter of butter and eggs and sugar, and lighter fruits, apricots, you know, citron peel and such. And then one year I made dark fruit cake, and everybody just, I think they were ready for a change, and they loved it. And that is a more traditional fruit cake. It's packed full of spices. It's got dates and raisins and cherries and lots of nuts in it. And then it has brandy in it. And then I also wrap it in a brandy cheesecloth. And it should traditionally set for a couple, 3 weeks to get all yummy. I was a little late in that this year, but we have it. And let's see, we have one more thing on the plate because I'm still making cookies. It's the peanut butter blossom cookies, which everybody loves. I don't get this peanut butter thing. If you're not a peanut butter fan, it just...
Well, it does make some people blow up and be unable to breathe.
Yeah.
So consider that for not getting peanut butter.
Well, that's going to the extreme.
There is the possibility that your throat will close up and you need an EpiPen.
Ooh, that would be bad. I like peanut butter. I don't love it. Uh-huh. Most of the people in my life love it. So this is just basically a peanut butter cookie, and you take a little Hershey's Kiss and you plop it down in the middle, and it kind of cements itself in because the cookie's still warm. I've yet to make my Spanish cookies.
Okay.
Those are kind of a new one. I was watching a TV show one day,
yeah,
and this very Spanish lady was showing how she makes these Spanish cookies. They're a very short cookie. They're composed of shortening, oil, egg, and the spice, and of course sugar, and the spice that's in them is what I really love. So it's lemon zest, cinnamon, anise, vanilla, I think that's the four. And I usually traditionally make them, let them hang out, let the dough hang out overnight so all the flavors meld together, and then you roll them in a ball, gently press them down, you brush them with egg white, and then I sprinkle colored sugars on them so they have a little prettiness to them because they don't get frosted. And they've become a new family favorite.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
So 235-7721 is the number to call, or 1-800-979-5224. If you'd like to share some of your family traditions and recipes, we would love to hear them. But before we move on, because I have other questions, because you don't just make cookies.
Oh, heavens no.
This is why we always assume, it's one of the mistakes that I always make here, is that we always assume that everybody knows everybody. But for those people who might be new to town or just haven't run across you yet, who are you, Terry Roble?
Well, I've been in Homer about 33 years. I love it here. I raised my family here. My husband and I just both really, really love our life here in Homer. I started cooking when I was in high school. My mom took a job at a Christmas card factory from 4 to midnight.
Come on.
Yeah, really, to help make ends meet. She'd start dinner, and my sister and I, when we came home, we'd have to put it on the table for my brother, my little brother, and my dad. And mom was a busy girl. You know, we didn't have much money. So one day we go kind of, everybody back then had a repertoire of just a regular bunch of goodies, dinners that they would make. I asked mom, I go, Mom, do you have a cookbook? And she had my favorite to this day, which I still give every bride and new person that is going into the kitchen, is the Better Homes and Gardens cookbook.
Absolutely terrific book.
You can recognize it with the red and white checked.
Right.
So mom had this cookbook, and I looked in it, and no kidding, people, I found this thing called lasagna. And I went, wow, that looks really good. So I said, okay, Mom, here's the deal. When I'm at school today, you go to the market and you buy everything to make this, and I'm going to make lasagna tonight. So she had everything there. She says to me, that cost half my paycheck. But anyway, so that's kind of how I got really hooked on cooking. I've been cooking for my family. I love cooking for my family. It's something that you have to do. You have to eat. And I love to be creative. So,
but you also cook professionally.
I have. And that's kind of what I dabbled in as the years went by. You know, I've entered contests and done okay, you know. I've done some catering. I've done some private dinners.
And also your column.
And I do my cooking column. I love writing my column because...
And tell people where they can find it.
In the Homer News. And I used to write it every other week for quite a few years, and then that changed. I miss it.
Is it more of a seasonal thing now?
Now it is, yes. But what's really fun is I like to tell people why I chose the recipe I did to put in the paper. What is the history behind it? Or, you know, why am I motivated to put this fish recipe in? And I call it my life and food column. Because
so is there, that's on my list of questions. You just said the word fish, seeing as how we are in a harbor town.
I love it.
So on my list of questions, are there any traditional fish dishes that you have for this time of year?
You know, when I first came to Alaska, I was unfamiliar with every bit of fish up here. When I grew up in Wisconsin and I left at 18, it was lake perch, panfish, which is really, really good. Walleye, and then all I knew of ocean fish was we'd get halibut frozen in blocks, and Mom would just cook the snot out of it in a broiler, and it was like shoe leather. So I had to learn how to really take care of and cook this beautiful seafood right. And so, no, there isn't any traditional fish dishes, but I have to tell you, cooking fish is one of my favorite things to do. Last night, we had a king crab and shrimp cake.
Ooh, well, that sounds good.
It turned out very well, and it got rave reviews from the fam. I make a crab cake, and I don't know why I feel like I have to mess with success, but I threw some shrimp in and a little diced celery for crunch, and I rolled it in panko and pan fried it. They were excellent.
So there are a couple of ways we can approach this. We can begin with appetizers and move our way through, but there is one thing that I want to start with and to get your opinions and helpful hints on, and that's food safety and how long you cook meats and birds and the rules on leaving food out for hours at a time, which is something that happens over the holidays.
Well, my big joke is I haven't killed or got anybody sick yet.
Good, good.
but I am very conscious of food safety. You know, keep your seafood cool. Keep your knives clean. Keep your cutting boards clean. The chicken bacteria contamination thing, I'm really careful to, you know, wash your utensils and your cutting boards between things. A lot of times you don't want your flavors to meld. Like if you're going to cut up an onion and then you're going to turn around and cut up an orange, you don't want to do that. Keep things cool. Cook your poultry to the temperature that is recommended in cookbooks and on
follow the recipe
follow
in that
recipe.
Respect for sure.
You know, they have changed the temperature guidelines on a few things in recent years, like pork and things like that. And, you know, when I was young, we cooked duck till it was very, very done. And now a lot of duck breast is served quite rare.
Absolutely pink, yeah.
Yeah. Salmon also now is served basically kind of, you know, you pick how you like it, like steak. We like ours cooked through but not cooked too long. So, you know, I just say meat, be careful. Dairy, keep it cold. Eggs are a little more forgiving, but, you know, that's because we have chickens. And, you know, if you go on holiday and go around the markets of the world, people leave their eggs out there.
Yeah.
So, but still, you know, be careful of anything that you pick up in the produce section or the refrigerated section of the market. You want to make sure you take care of that the way they took care of it. You know, you want to cook your meats well. There's someone in my family right now who shouldn't have eggs other than cooked well. And so, you know, we have to respect that.
Oh, sure. Now, one thing we do in my house to try to avoid cross-contamination and all that sort of thing is that I try very hard to conserve on paper and not just have paper and throwing things out.
Sure.
But when I've got poultry, when I've got meats out and I'm cutting, then they're on paper plates, like 2 and 3 thick, so that I can just take that and throw it away.
That's a great idea.
And not... and not have to clean cutting boards or make sure, like, am I using the chicken cutting board or am I using the bread board, or so that it doesn't get confused in my head. Because that's another thing that happens. There are people at your house. Things get confused and turned around and people think they're helping, but they may not be.
Yeah. And, you know, another thing, you know, a lot of like sauces and things have mayonnaise in them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's another thing to be aware of, is keeping that salad cold. If it's going to sit out for any length of time, you know, we all do this. We go to the summer picnic and we bring grandma's potato salad with the mayonnaise base, you know, and you know, I think things are a lot more, we can go a little further trying to stretch the safety factor with them. But if you can be conscious of it, that's great, you know, because, gosh, you don't want to get anybody sick.
And leftovers? Any safety rules for packing, you know, and storing?
Just wrap them well and use them up. And don't wait too long to use them, you know. Smell them. Your nose is a wonderful guide. But, you know, you want to be careful, too, with things like fresh shellfish. You know, and those,
like, how? What are the rules for being careful?
Well, you
want to
keep them cool, but, you know,
The little plate of ice.
Yeah, a little plate of ice. But also, you know, if you've kept them too long, they're going to let you know that you don't want to eat them. So, but yes, the big seafood thing here, and keeping things cool and cooking things properly, hugely important.
Awesome. So 235-7721. 1-800-979-5224. We'd love to hear from you. But I want to move on to appetizers.
Oh, my favorite things.
Are they really? So
I love them.
What's your procedure? What's on your list? What do you like to mix together?
Oh, my gosh. I love savory things. I'm a salt, savory, crunchy kind of person, whereas the people in my family, they love that, but they love sweets even more. So I love to use our local things. Okay. I'm all about that. And, it's fun. They're fresh and they're good and they're available.
So like what?
So we have moose hunters in the family. And so, we make sausage from the moose, hamburger.
Do you mix pork in with your moose sausage?
We do. Absolutely. And so one of the family favorites is a sweet Italian moose sausage meatball in a tomato vodka cream sauce. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll bring that on, right? I love to, another fun thing that we've discovered over the years is a king salmon carpaccio. And okay, here's a food safety thing. It is like a sushi. So it's very king salmon fillet, very, very thinly sliced. And it is marinated, so to speak, in zest of lime, juices, olive oil, fresh dill, little salt, spread
so
on a plate.
Put together like ceviche?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yep. Uh-huh. And it's in, and then we serve little butter toasted crustinis with it. It's and it's lovely with a glass of champagne. So that's a favorite too. Cheeses. Oh my goodness. You can get cheeses from all over the world now. And I love cheese.
Yeah, missing Mara this time of year because the cheesemonger is gone.
Oh, I know. And they're so yummy and all so different. And being from Wisconsin, we were just back there. I brought home, okay, guys, I really did this, $245 worth of cheese in a cooler. It's creamy. It's fresh.
What are your favorites?
Oh, my gosh. I'm not a big old cheese kind of girl. I love Colby. I love a good Parmesan, though. Mm-hmm. They make an amazing Parmesan back there. I love a hickory nut Munster that they make back in Wisconsin. But I love Brie's, and I love the Kakana Club cheese spreads are just addictive. They're like a you've seen them, a beer cheese kind of a thing. Okay, sausage. Let's move on to sausage.
Okay, let's
do
it.
Oh, my gosh. So this is a whole, I mean, we could spend hours on each of these topics, but that's okay. Wisconsin people, big sausage lovers, Germans, you know, and they make amazing sausage. And, you know, we make a lot of sausage with our moose. And a lot of friends in my life love to experiment, smoking their own, making, summer sausage, bratwurst, all kinds of sausages to eat. And those go really well on an appetizer plate as well. I have a girlfriend who introduced me to andouille, which is more of a Cajun sort of spiced sausage, which is really yummy too. There's just so many of them. I mean, I can't even start.
Well, then let's leave it alone for a minute. Well, you can think about a few more. And I would love to hear about main dishes and sides. But first, let's take a short break. And we'll be back in just a few minutes to take your calls, 235-7721 or 1-800-979-5224. This is The Coffee Table on KBBI with Terry Robel.
Mit zärtlichen Trieben.
This is KBBI AM 890 Homer. The time is 9:32 a.m. You are listening to the Coffee Table Program with Terry Roble. Hello, Terry.
Hi, welcome.
We just took a short break and started sampling. Everyone from the entire station came in to sample cookies.
They kind of swarmed in. It was great.
Let's get you a little closer to that mic. There you go.
All right.
Now, we talked about appetizers, but I want to talk about mains and sides. So I really opened it up a little bit with food safety.
That was great.
To talk about like what your main dishes are. But I want to hear from you about what some of the main dishes that are in your house. And like, for instance, that aren't necessarily traditional. I really don't have a Christmas practice now. I don't celebrate Christmas. But in the house I grew up in, we had lasagna was the tradition.
Oh, yeah.
my ears perked up when you were talking about it. But I would love to hear from anybody who's listening about their Christmas traditions, cooking traditions especially. But 235-7721. Or if you're out of the local area, 1-800-979-5224. So, Terry Roble, let's talk about main dishes and sides.
I would love anybody out there, please call and let me know what is your thing? What's your tradition to make for the holidays and Hanukkah? I think it's very traditional. We do traditional stuff this time of the year simply because one of our best friends was the butcher in Homer for many years until he passed. And we were like family. So he would always give us a humongous prime rib every year that we would serve on Christmas Eve. I found a drop-dead killer lemon Caesar salad recipe many, many years ago on Bon Appetit. Complements that very well. We grow our own potatoes. I love Alaskan potatoes and carrots. They're so amazing. And I never used to be a big potato lover till my butcher friend had to have meat and potatoes every night. And now I have to have them too. And so we make a lot of a twice baked or a potato casserole with a creamy, cheesy thing going on, you know. Then he introduced us to popovers or Yorkshire pudding, and we're big gravy people.
Do you make
house.
Yorkshire pudding in your house?
I do.
And can you give people an understanding of what that is?
Yorkshire pudding is sort of like you make it in a bit, it looks like a muffin pan, only taller, and the little hats puff up on them. It's a flour, egg, milk based sort of batter, and you bake it in the oven and it rises very high, and then you serve it right away. Otherwise, it deflates sort of like a souffle.
I see.
And in our friend told us in England when he was growing up, it was traditionally served prior to the meat because it was a filler, because meat was very expensive and there wasn't
and
much
scarce.
Of it.
Yeah.
Right. And we always do like green beans. Of course, I have to tweak everything up a little bit. And when I make fresh green beans, I like to put a little soy sauce in them and gorgonzola or blue cheese sprinkled on them. I don't know. I like to kick things up a notch. There's a potato yeast roll that I make that we just love. It's buttery and soft, and oh my goodness, goes good with any leftover kind of meat in it.
I do go to other people's homes for holidays and bring food, and what I love to bring is stuffing muffins and green gravy.
Love so green gravy. Tell me about this green gravy.
Green gravy is just no meat. It's a gravy with no meat. And so roasted, the base for me is two cloves of garlic that I've put olive oil on and covered and put in the oven until it's really soft, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Until it gets that nice buttery.
And sweet.
Yes. And yeah. I use that as the base for the gravy. And so, mushroom broth.
Oh, yeah.
And garlic. And then I do use things like cornstarch, you know, to thicken it, but it doesn't really need much thickening. But then all the things that you might want in your dressing, added with a cup and a half of the flour of your choice, and then a little bit of baking soda and baking powder. And I also like to use egg white whipped in.
Wow.
So that it's because stuffing dressings that's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
So I need every trick in the book to make it as light as possible to puff up and make muffins from it. And
good.
So, I've stopped making the stuffing muffins because my friends have started the tradition. A few years ago, they got this wild idea to make deep fried stuffing balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be fun.
And so now that's what we're going with. But I do still pull out the stuffing muffins every now and then.
You know, I know I was thinking the other day, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much rich food going on this time of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, king crab deliveries come in. The first thing we do when the king crab comes in, if we get it, and oh my goodness, just, you know, get it hot, get some good butter, lemon, good bread. Good French bread or sourdough bread, champagne, pig out. I mean, oh my gosh, rich. We grow our own turkeys. And well, my husband does. He's quite good in the farming department, and you know, he grows these wonderful tasting turkeys. And I have to say, I'm really, really spoiled because I have had one to cook for many years, and there's so much flavor with them. And you know they're good for you because you know what they're where they've come from and what they ate, and I think that's a huge part of why they are so good, you know. So lots of the turkey and the stuffing and things like that. We have been brining our own hams lately. They're amazing. So this year the menu.
What size ham are we talking about?
Just small, not real big. You know, we got a pig the last few years and. You know, they're small. They brine, and then he smokes them for a while.
And they live around the house, and they eat the compost?
Actually, a friend raises them.
I see.
So I don't have
a pig. You have a share of a pig?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We help him butcher, and mm-hmm. then he gives us some pig. So that's probably... prime rib is usually on deck for Christmas Eve, and ham and scalloped potatoes, maybe Christmas Day, leftovers. You know, I always make my orange rolls for Christmas morning.
What is that?
Orange rolls. They're just a yeast roll made with sour cream and butter. See, rich stuff, guys. Orange rind, sugar.
I think it is important to remind people when they're setting their table, because all the rich food that, like, mm-hmm. a crudité or a fresh vegetable plate
yes.
is a really vital thing to have. And, mm-hmm. The other thing that I like to have that's not rich mm-hmm. is I take halves of peppers and fill them with polenta and let it set in there so that you have servings of polenta and then put it in the oven so that the pepper can bake a little bit. And for me anyway, especially with things like pastas and polenta, they can upset my stomach if I only cook them once. But if I cook them twice, they tend to be... very easy on the stomach. So that, like, I'll cook the polenta on the stovetop and then I'll pour it into the cups and then I'll put it in and bake it with some cheese, and it makes it extra creamy.
Oh, yum. It's so fun to hear what other people love to make, you know, because I read tons of cookbooks and cooking magazines. And
I could read them like novels,
from
beginning to end.
This is fun that you're a big foodie like I am. I love it. But yes, when I wrote the column for the paper this week, I came across a beautiful salad that had pomegranate and jicama and watercress and spinach.
So jicama, is that like radish?
Sort of.
I mean,
it's a white, crunchy, bulbous type thing. It doesn't have much flavor. It's got some great crunch to it.
It's got texture.
Yeah. It's white. Also in the salad is orange and grapefruit. So something light, something beautiful, you know, to go with a lot of this heavy eating, you know. I love making salads with our fresh vegetables, and it's just and being creative with them.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. When you were talking about the Spanish dishes, it was a simple Spanish salad in a recipe book that flipped my switch. And it was just the combination of the fresh orange and the red onion and the cinnamon all together. And it was like someone flipped a switch in me that I wanted to know how to do this, you know, and how to put flavors together. And
sometimes, you know, the best things are the simplest things. I was fortunate and got to go to Spain.
That's
for
the Jacques Pepin way.
And
yes, that's what he taught me.
Yes. And one of my favorite things I had over there was this tomato bread, and basically it was like a day old piece of bread, a French bread perhaps, and I think it was rubbed with olive oil and a little garlic, and then they just took, and of course, you know, it went through the broiler, not the broiler, but just a little heat to it, and then they took a fresh tomato, and then they just swiped it over the bread. I don't know why that was so good, but we couldn't get enough of
that. Sometimes it's the setting. Where you are. Yep. That helps.
That's huge.
Before we get to pie crusts and cocktails, which are the other two things on my list,
all right.
I was wondering, do you still hold cooking classes?
I do. In fact, I am.
Tell us about it. Invite people.
I have... I don't know if I can say this on the air, but there's a really...
Wait a minute. Everybody hold your breath for a minute.
In Homer.
Oh, yes, you can do that. You can tell people you go to the cooking store.
I go to the cooking store. I love it. My wonderful dear friend Janie owns it. And, oh, my gosh, I've had some cooking classes in there that are just so fun. And I think the fun factor is just the best part, you know. I'm also teaching a French cooking class at the college in February.
Register now.
It's one class. We're going to make some fabulous French dishes that are very basic but very good. One of them is chicken coca riesling, mm-hmm. which is basically a chicken coca vin with a nice Riesling, and it's just really, really good. I teach cooking classes for people who want me to. I like to donate them to charities for auction fundraisers, so there's a lot of cooking that goes on.
I think I've auctioned off a few of your cooking classes.
I bet you have, and they're a lot of fun to do. Mm-hmm. And it's a great way to meet some new people and try some new foods, and it's just a really great thing to do. Winter's a good time to do stuff like this.
So before we get into pies and cocktails and wines, and look up and see that we're out of time, I also want to ask, do you have a website that's yours where anything that you're involved in can be accessed, or is there a way? How would a person contact you?
Wow. You just have to find me through Life in Homer. I've had a few.
Because I have to say, you're not in the phone book.
I'm not in the phone book. There's reasons for that.
That's all good. I understand. But neither am I.
Many, many friends in Homer. I love it. Everybody knows, you know, where to find me. I'm working on that right now.
Okay.
I need to branch out a little bit again. When I wrote the column, I had a website.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, if you Google Kachemak Bay Gourmet.
I know, because I looked for you.
You will find me. You will find a lot of my older, I didn't say older recipes, but
archived recipes.
Right, and they're still really there, and it's still really good, and I think I need to revisit that again.
I mean,
this cooking thing is such a passion for me, and I love sharing it with the people of my community and you know, helping them cook our beautiful produce and fish and what wonderful things we have here the best way they can, and enjoy them and share them with the people that they love.
All right. So that brings me to pie crust.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's time for dessert, of course. But first, there's still time for you to chime in. And I know Terry would love to hear from you. 235-7721 or 1-800-979-5224. So pie crust. What's the secret?
You know, everybody has their own little secrets. My mom used to make pie crust, so I do it like she did.
And?
Okay? And basically, she has flour, shortening, ice water, salt. Over the years, I put half shortening and half butter in it now because the husband's mom used all butter. So I try to have a cold pastry board, but it's not essential. And I try to chill my marble rolling pin, also not essential, because most of the time
but helpful.
It's really helpful. You know, you don't want to get it too moist, but you want to get it moist enough so that when it's ready to go, you can get it together and bring it together in your hands, and it's together. You can let it rest a bit in the fridge, all right, and a little flour on the board.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken to using a little pastry brush when I put the flour on it, so there's not so much flour getting incorporated into the dough, and just rolling it out in a circle, patting it together as the edges crack and break, and just be really careful with it and keep enough flour on it that you can get it into your pan. Some people like to put a little vodka in it because it makes, as the alcohol evaporates, it leaves those little pockets.
And so that makes it flaky?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But just make sure your ice water is very icy. And it's so funny, depending on the humidity of the day, you know, I've noticed in my bread baking as well, you might need less water or more water. So anyway, after you get your pie crust rolled out to a thickness that you feel is good.
Appropriate for the filling. Right.
Appropriate for the filling. How can you find out? Usually mine are about the same thickness. Okay, I just go for, okay, how far can I go? And is it going to fit in the pan? Mm-hmm. So I take it, and once it's rolled out, I fold it in half, and then I fold it in quarters, and I lay it in the pan, and then I unfold it, and then I pinch it. And pie crust, you don't want to handle a whole lot because it will get tough, okay?
I remember Carol Standard saying that she would use chopsticks and just a few specks of water.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah. Fabulous chef. I'm not a huge baker, so I don't have all the answers. I've kind of gotten into bread baking a little bit lately, but I make the standard mom pie crust, gang, okay? Mm-hmm. We can't handle pie crust from the market, but if that's all you can do, go for it.
Take it, absolutely.
Just take it, do it, share that love, you know? Share that pie love.
That is still a homemade pie.
It is still a homemade pie. It's made in your kitchen.
So what pies do you put into your house?
Oh, my guys, they love pecan pie. They love pumpkin pie. They love blueberry pie. What else? Oh, lemon meringue. I make a killer lemon meringue, and I owe somebody a lemon meringue pie. So the old English butcher's brother was from California. When he would visit, he'd bring me a bag of lemons, and I would always make him a lemon meringue pie. And it's my mom's favorite as well. And I've kind of been drawn to it lately, too. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. And before we go any further, okay, I just want to give a shout-out to my sister Gail and her husband Randy, who are here. I'm so happy that they're here. She joined me for a summer barbecue cooking call-in show a couple years ago, and we had the best time.
Does she have a specialty around this time of year? What do you count on for her?
Her specialty is coming and eating my food. She's not the lover of food and cooking that her sister is.
How about cocktails? Cocktails and wine?
Cocktails
in your house?
In my house, we like, make a lot of brandy old fashions during the holiday season, because that's a big Wisconsin drink and it has bitters in it. And Angostura, I don't know if I'm saying that right, bitters are, they're spicy. And so when you make this cocktail, you fill your highball glass with ice, you shake in about 5 shakes of this bitters, and then you add a couple maraschino cherries and like a jigger and a half of brandy. And then you fill it up with a 7-Up or ginger ale. We like 7-Up. And then you take an orange slice and you squeeze the orange juice in there. And then you run it around the rib and you stir it up good. And it's a really, really yummy cocktail. We used to have Tom and Jerry's when we were back home. And you beat egg yolks with powdered sugar, stiff. You beat egg whites with powdered sugar, stiff. You fold them together. And in this Tom and Jerry, then, you put about 1/3 cup of the batter. It's called batter. Then you put in 1/2 jigger of light rum, 1/2 jigger of brandy. Then you fill the cup up with boiling water. You stir, 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 and shake some nutmeg on top. That's a yummy drink.
I'm remembering all of this because my Wisconsin Viking husband loves Tom and Jerry.
There you go. I haven't made them in a long time. I mean, I remember my mom had a special bowl with snowflakes and a special mugs with snowflakes on them that were just Tom and Jerry's. You know, they were just
That's
for
what
Tom
they were
and
for.
Jerry's. Yep. So I think she still has that, and I need to get that. Anyway, wines and champagnes. Oh, my goodness. So many wonderful wines and champagnes out there, affordable now, you know.
And we have terrific purveyors in this town.
Oh, my gosh. I think
we have.
Who
can recommend all kinds of delicious things.
We do. Brandies, scotches, so many nice liqueurs and, you know, so many fun things to try, you know. It's just, it's endless. Just you know, the rule. Be
so,
careful.
So what have we left out? What did you come here prepared to talk about? Oh, wait, you've got chocolates on your plate that you didn't tell us about.
Oh, you know what?
Are those truffles? Are those candies?
Well,
are they
those are, okay, I just have a few there, okay? There's a couple of chocolates.
They're not allowed to leave your house.
No, they're not. There's a couple of places back in Oshkosh, Wisconsin that make these amazing chocolates. One is Oak's Candy and one is Hughes Candy. Hughes Candies are still made in the basement of a house on Doty Street. It's whitewashed. You go down the basement stairs, you look to the right, and there's people making toffee and nougats and whatnot. You look to the left, there's all these little white boxes and the clerk. The smell of milk chocolate is amazing. So we ordered some. I brought you in just a few to try. There's a double chocolate. There's a toffee, which is my favorite. There is a chocolate pecan, and I don't remember what the other one is. Oh, it's called light pudding. So it's basically chocolate, but the filling is a little lighter than the double chocolates, which is a little heavier.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm really looking forward to this season is that this is generally the time of the year that friends bust out the frozen berries that they collected over the summer.
Right.
And so I hear it was a pretty good season. I had to be away this summer.
Oh.
But I hear it was a pretty good season. Do you go picking?
You know what? We started growing berries about 3 years ago. I went out there every other day and picked bags and bags of berries. I have one whole shelf in my freezer that's just full of beautiful red raspberries. I throw them in my champagne. Mm-hmm. I throw them in my wine. I put them in my seltzer water. I've had a request for raspberry pie. We will definitely do that. Just Cham Tort. This is a fun thing.
What's that?
It's a egg white meringue, and then you just make a fruit puree to go over it with, you cook the berries with a little cornstarch and a little sugar and maybe a little zest of lemon or orange, and then you put that over the base of the Cham Tort, and then you put a little vanilla ice cream on there. It's wonderful.
I'm sold. Yeah.
I want to make raspberry cordial next year.
Oh, good idea.
In fact, I probably can still do it. Of course, I make a lot of raspberry jam with it. Mm-hmm. You know, we love it. I love raspberries, and I think they're really good for you. And I think our stars of the winter here are pomegranates.
Oh.
I love pomegranates as well. So they're the fresh stars of the holiday season
rather than
the raspberries.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I want to thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
It's been such a pleasure. And we look forward to you coming to KBBI every year. Even when the coffee table was suspended this year, we thought, oh, we've got to have Terry.
Oh, thank
you. And in fact, you and Dana last week are sort of ushering the coffee table back in.
So I'm so glad
that you've come in to help us get it started up again.
Thank you. You just want me to come in so I bring you treats.
Well, you know, I'm thinking right now we should go ahead and schedule you for Easter, Passover, spring
Excellent.
Break.
I'm there with you.
So
I would love to share.
And is there anything that you are growing right now indoors? Like, is there anything that you've got going?
No, you know, I keep herbs a little bit, and that hasn't worked out so well this of late. But no, I don't. I know a lot of people do a lot of things, which is awesome. I miss fresh things a lot in the winter, but our markets do a very good job keeping us supplied.
That's for sure.
And so, you know, we don't really go for want of anything around here, and we're just very fortunate that we have so much.
Well, that's an excellent way to wrap this up, but I do want to give you one more opportunity. Is there anything you came here to talk about that we didn't really approach?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I think what I wanted to do is hear more from our listeners on what they like to cook and what their traditions are, and maybe if they have questions and I can try to help them. And maybe just letting you know that our local game meats, local fish, and local produce are my favorite things.
Yeah, we have a little Kodiak deer in my freezer.
Oh, excellent.
That's definitely coming out.
Yeah, so.
Well, Terry, thank you so much, Terry Roble, for
thank
being
you.
Here. And I hope to see you real soon. And to everyone listening, have a marvelous holiday. And Finley Abbott's J.S. Bach Christmas Oratorio is going to take us out. I'll be right back in with you. You've been listening to The Coffee Table on KBBI AM 890 Homer. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. And happy solstice.
Oh, there you go.